Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently leading us through a series of studies that will provide us with an overview of the entire Bible. And our overview today will continue in the book of Hebrews as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As you go on in the fourth chapter there, the last couple of verses, verses 14 through 16, remember I said that the writer is comparing Jesus to Aaron and to the priesthood. And here in Hebrews, there's the big emphasis on Jesus as our high priest. But here's a couple of passages that are just so beautiful and so encouraging. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Man, those verses, if you haven't memorized them yet, these are some verses you want to commit to memory. Such glorious truth. That we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. You know, you ever feel like, man, nobody knows what I'm going through? Sometimes we can feel like, you know, nobody's ever been through what I'm going through. Well, there's one person that cannot be said of. And that one person is God the Son. He can sympathize with our weaknesses because in all points, he was tested as we are. Jesus underwent the most severe temptation and testing, things beyond what any man has ever endured. So there's actually not a single thing that we could be faced with that we could go to Christ with and find that he couldn't relate to us, or he couldn't help us, or he couldn't sympathize with us. There's nothing. And that's what the author's reminding us of. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The high priest under the Jewish system, they were just men. And, you know, we can sympathize with each other as men, but our sympathy can only go so far. But of course, there's nothing that Jesus didn't face. And so he tells us we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That is great news right there. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're faced with, whatever challenges are there in your life, take them to Christ, the great sympathetic high priest, and know that there's grace to help. There's mercy to help in time of need. Now, skipping over chapter 5 just for the sake of time, chapter 6, verse 10, there's a great word of encouragement there. And it's in the sixth chapter. Remember I told you in the first part of the chapter where one of the real severe warnings comes. And so after that severe warning, the author then says to them, but we are persuaded of better things concerning you than these things. He's talking about, you know, he uses the analogy. He says, like the ground that is watered laps up the water but never brings forth the fruit, he says, it's cursed and it's near to being burned. And he's using that as an analogy of people who have received the word of God, but are not responding and not bearing the fruit. So those are harsh things. It's cursed. It's near to being burned. But then he says this, but we are persuaded of better things concerning you, my brethren. So he throws out that strong warning, but then he softens it a bit. But then he says this, for God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love that you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So all the way along, he's appealing to them, don't give up your faith. Don't let go. I know you haven't been rewarded yet. I know that you're going through difficulties. I know that you're facing hard times. These Hebrew Christians, from the very text itself, we learn that they had lost their homes. They had lost their jobs. They had been made a public spectacle. They were being mocked and ridiculed. Some of them were even being physically persecuted. But the author's saying, I know all of that's happening, but listen. God is not unfaithful. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten your work and your labor of love. Just hang in there. There's going to be a reward that's going to come. And, of course, that's true for us as well. I know a lot of people right now who are weary because they feel like, you know, I've been serving the Lord. I've been walking with the Lord for a long time. I've been trying to be faithful. And everything's just a disaster. I've talked to people recently who would say to me, I'm going through the hardest time of my life. It just seems like everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong. And just when I think it couldn't get any worse, it gets worse. And you know, that's when the temptation comes in. That's when the devil comes along and says, well, maybe there's not even a God. What are you wasting your time? You know, okay, well, maybe there is a God, but he obviously doesn't care about you. Because if he really loved you, would he let you go through this kind of thing? And there's a lot of this going on today. But this is where we need to take heed to these kinds of admonitions and these words of encouragement. God is not unfaithful to forget your work and labor of love. God hasn't forgotten. And although it looks like he's asleep on the job, he's not. And there's an appointed time when this thing's going to pass and blessing is going to be restored. And we've got to persevere through it. We've got to just, by faith, hang in there. And that, of course, is the big emphasis here in this epistle, by faith. Now, in chapter 7, verses 22 through 24 and 25, we read there that Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant because he continues forever. He has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So again, that, a great word of encouragement. Christ is going to save us. And the word save, remember this, it doesn't only mean to save you eternally from your sins, but the word can sometimes be understood to deliver us. To deliver us from adverse circumstances, to deliver us from trouble, difficulty, trials. And this is what he's reminding us of, that our great high priest, he ever lives to make intercession for us, and he is able to deliver to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Do you know that Jesus is praying for you right now? He's praying for me right now. He ever lives to make intercession for us. When Jesus was here on earth, his ministry was to offer himself up as a sacrifice. But having done that, he's entered in now to a new ministry, and the ministry that the Lord has today is that of interceding for his people. Jesus Christ is praying for every one of us. That is so encouraging to know. And he knows exactly what to pray. He knows how to pray. He knows what every one of us need. But sometimes we lose heart because we forget these things. We forget that there at the right hand of the Father is Christ making intercession for us. But he is. In chapter 9, we have that passage that states that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sin of many. To those who look for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. Maybe you've heard that verse before. It's appointed unto men to die once. Here it is, right here, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. But notice there's a second part to it, that he was offered once to bear the sin of many. Christ was. And to those who look for him, he's going to appear a second time. So an encouragement to keep trusting the Lord, to keep looking to the Lord. And then chapter 10, here's the exhortation to fellowship, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is sort of the classic passage that, you know, specifically tells us that we need fellowship. We need fellowship. We can't make it on our own. We can't isolate ourselves as God's people. God intended that we be part of a family. We're part of a body. And just as a body, if one part of the body is isolated from the rest of the body, it's never going to survive. It's certainly not going to thrive. And so likewise, as parts of the body, if we get isolated from the body, we're not going to survive ultimately. We're certainly not going to thrive. And this is our prayer that, you know, the whole of the church would grab hold of this reality. I need my brothers. I need encouragement. I need people to challenge me and hold me accountable. I need people to pray for me. I need people to inspire me through what God's doing in their lives. That's what it's all about. And that's what he reminds them of here. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So when we come together, we're coming together with the objective of ministering to one another. I want to stir up in others. I want to provoke others to love and good works. So as we come together, you know, it's good to just, on your way over, just say a little prayer. Lord, would you use me to encourage somebody else? I understand that it's sometimes hard, you know, to come into a new environment, to come into a place where you don't know people that well. And, you know, at this stage in life as men, you know, it's a little bit hard for us, isn't it, to walk into an unfamiliar place or to just sort of jump into a group of guys that we don't know and just all of a sudden have a connection with people. But we've got to take that step. We just got to press through the difficulty of it. We got to press through the embarrassment of it or whatever if we're kind of shy, the timidity of it, and just put ourselves out there, and you'll find that God will start to bring together some beautiful relationships. I think of all of the people that I've met over the years that have been such a blessing in my life. You need to take a step. You need to go. That's what we're being exhorted to do here. Chapter 11, the great chapter on faith. And all of those men and women from history past who served God by faith, did those things for him. We read there in the beginning of the chapter, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we read a few verses later, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, God has called us to this life of faith. And it has its challenges because God's calling us to believe what we can't see. I was talking to a friend today who's, he's a pastor. But he's been out of the ministry for a while. But he's had a heart for this particular city on the East Coast. And he went there at one point and tried to plant a church, and it was just a disaster. He ended up, you know, kind of just having to leave town. He couldn't get a job, and the place where he was staying fell through ultimately, and the money dried up, and all of that. So he ended up, you know, coming back here. He had a home here. So he came back. He's, you know, back here again, doing his job. But just having a heart for this place and just feeling like, Lord, oh, I wanted to go there and I thought you were calling me there, but maybe I was mistaken. But then, you know, he just kept praying about it. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, it's all come back around and now he's heading out again. So he calls me today and he's just saying, man, I'm so scared. I'm so scared to go. The money that I thought I was going to get, I'm not getting. And I'm going back there and I'm going to take this job, but, you know, I want to plant a church. I want to be a pastor. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I'm 60 years old. What am I, crazy? And then right at the same time, he's got a church in another state that's contacted him and said, look, come right now. We'll pay your way. You can be our pastor. We'll give you a full-time salary. We want you to come. And, you know, that looks so good. But his heart is in that other place. He's wept for that city. He's just had this longing desire to go there. So he's saying to me today, what do I do? It looks so much better and easier and more comfortable to go where they're offering me the full-time job and they're going to pay my way out there and all of that. But my heart's still connected to this place. I said, look, you got to go to the other place. You got to go where there's nothing, where you can't see anything. Why? Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. You got to trust God. You're going to go and you can't see it. But listen, when you get there, God's going to unfold the whole thing and he's going to bless it. His wife's telling him the same thing. So I'm on, you know, solid ground. Yeah. But I just said to him, I said, listen, this is it, man. You're like Abraham. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith by giving glory to God because he was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to accomplish. That's what you're doing. You're stepping out in faith. That's what God calls us to do. He calls us to live by faith, to step out in faith. And as we're told here, without faith, we can't please God. But man, the life of faith, that's the way to live. Now, it's not always the funnest way to live. Certainly is the most thrilling way to live, because a lot of times you don't know what's going to happen from sometimes hour to hour. But it's the life of faith. This is the life that God calls us to, believing that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God rewards those who diligently seek him? Are you diligently seeking him? That's what we're to do. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us lay aside every weight, because all of these men and women went before us and they had these tremendous testimonies of faith and they had less information than we do. They had an inferior covenant than what we have. And if they did that, under those circumstances, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Laying aside every weight and the sin. You can't advance in sin. You're in sin, you're stuck. You know, you just cannot progress. We've got to get the sin dealt with. Lay it aside. But not only the sin, the weights. Weights aren't necessarily sin. They're just impediments. They slow us down. They're hindering us from making the progress that God wants us to make. And you know, a weight can be anything that we put too much of an emphasis on, or we make it more of a priority than it ought to be. I know in my life, a lot of times the weights have just been hobbies and things that I like to do, getting my priorities out of balance and, you know, getting involved in things that were just distracting me and taking up so much of my time. I was talking to somebody today and they asked me if I golfed. And I said, I haven't golfed in 22 years. And the reason I quit golfing was because it was a massive distraction in my life. I found myself thinking, I got to get to the golf course. You know, I just played 9 holes. Now that'll, you know, I can do that quick. 3 hours later, you know, I'm still out there going, I got to get off this course. I got things to do. But I get trapped out there. Times in my life where surfing was that to me. And God would challenge me and deal with me and say, you know, put those things aside. And so, it can be anything. It can be anything that just becomes a distraction. But it's a weight. It's holding us back. It's slowing us down. So, whatever it might be, it could be different for each one of us. And some guys have complete liberty to golf. God bless you. Go golf. Some guys have complete liberty to surf. I have that too, but I just can't get around to doing it these days for whatever reason. But you know what it is. You know what those weights are, those things that you take a serious and honest look and just realize, man, this is slowing me down. This is hindering me. This is holding me back. We want to get rid of those things and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus, he endured the cross. Man, you can see how the author is just bringing this thing home to these people. They're contemplating turning away from Christ because their circumstances are too difficult. The author says, look to Jesus. You think you're going through hardship? You think you're going through difficult times? Jesus endured the cross. He despised the shame. Why did he do that? He did it for the joy that was set before him. The joy of saving you who are thinking about leaving him. That's why he did it in the first place. And then he goes on to exhort them further. He says, you have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood, striving against sin. And you've forgotten the exhortation that speaks to us as sons. Do not despise the correction of the Lord. So Jesus, we look to him. He becomes our example. And he's the author and the finisher of our faith. I love that. Man, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started this work in us. We can trust him. If we just continue to hold fast, believing in him, he's going to carry it through to the end. And then finally, last verse here, we'll close with this. In the 13th chapter, the 20 and 21st verses, this salutation here, Paul says this, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Listen, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work. It's all about just surrender. It's all about just letting go and letting him do that, letting him make us complete in every good work, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. This is the wonderful reality. It's as simple as this. Christ wants to live in you. He wants to fully inhabit your life, and he wants to live his life through you. What's your part? Just let him do it. Here I am, Lord. Just take over. Live your life through me. That which is well-pleasing in your sight, Lord, accomplish it through me. That's what it's ultimately all about. The God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, he's that great shepherd of the sheep. It's the promise at the end. He's going to do what he promised he would do. So hang in there. Don't give up. Don't let go. Don't turn back. Don't think that there's a better option. Don't think that there's another alternative. There's nowhere else to go. Stick it out with Christ, and God promises that there's a blessing just around the corner. So wait for it. It will come. Lord, we thank you for the truth that, Lord, you are working all things together for good to those who love you. And Lord, just the reminders of this great epistle. And Lord, may you impress on our hearts those things that you want to remain with us, that we would take those things home with us. And Lord, just as we read that your living and powerful word would divide between the soul and the spirit. Lord, that you would build us up in our most holy faith so that we can glorify you with these lives that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll return with more of our overview of the entire Bible in our next lesson as Pastor Brian leads us through the book of James. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Overview of Hebrews. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM109. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.